Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hey You Online. If you're just joining us for the first time, my name is Ryan.
My name is Nick. Ryan, did you know that salt and pepper Pringles aren't vegan, but apparently, get this, smoky bacon Pringles are vegan? Sounds counterintuitive.
Yeah. They must be using them chicken salts.
It's probably still not vegan.
Never actually knew salt and pepper Pringles were a thing. That sounds cool.
I mean, I've always been more of like an original guy. I just like the plain salt flavors. I don't really care for any of like the... I've never really been a fan of like the honey soy, you know, and all the other kind of like, you know, chicken flavors and everything like that. Just plain salt for me.
Honey soy is my jam. All right. First question for this episode. If it wasn't necessary for survival, would you still choose to eat? Why or why not?
Yeah, look, I think I would. I think I would, because eating to me is not just, I don't know, I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, you know, like if I could, you know, just take a magic pill and never have to eat, you know, not like one of those types of people. I really enjoy food. I feel like it adds variety to your life, you know, it adds a bit of spice. You get to experience different cultures through there. You know, what would be like, you know, going out and traveling if, you know, you didn't get to experience what other cultures eat and what they're, you know, like,
yeah, traditional for sure. When you travel, that's such a huge part of it.
Yeah,
you go to a different country, eat the food.
And also I feel like food just kind of adds depth to your life, you know, like you're in summer, it's hot, you want to have like a refreshing salad or something. Maybe in the middle of winter you want to have like a nice warm bowl of soup, you know, or a nice stew or something hearty like that, you know. So I think yes I would eat, and I enjoy cooking. I enjoy eating. Why not?
So for me, I thought of it from the point of view of like, there's so many meals that I do eat just because I need to eat. So I wouldn't get rid of eating, but I would change eating to be like an event. You know, like I don't need to eat dinner every night now, but maybe like once a week, I actually put like a whole lot of effort into one really awesome meal and try like one different cuisine from wherever. Because I do find like, you know, weeknights for me, I sort of just like,
a little busy.
Oh, is it my turn to cook? Yeah. Like, all right, okay. And then lunch is sort of a thrown together thing because I'm working from home, so there's not a lot of thought that goes into it.
How do you like spaghetti in a can?
And breakfast is like, actually, no, I've been better with breakfast, but it's consistently sort of like an omelet or
spaghetti like in a can,
some sort of egg, some sort of egg thing. But you know, like if I had like a week to sort of plan out just one meal, I reckon that would be really cool. And you know,
you
obviously when you go out and
yes,
again when you travel, because it builds part of that whole travel experience, but not just,
yeah,
when you don't have to do it to survive. I reckon breakfast and lunch are gone.
I reckon lunch for me is probably, lunch is the one that I'd probably get rid of. Like breakfast, you can have so many delicious breakfast foods, like brunch, breakfast, I've kind of throw them in the same category, but there are so many great things that you can have and tasty deliciousness. Lunch is always like that kind of in between meal. Like I feel like I can't eat something too big and too heavy, or else you just feel like having a nap, you know. And
yeah,
and then it's like, what is, you can't find the perfect lunch food. Whereas like there's always, at least to me, I feel like you can always find the perfect breakfast or perfect dinner. You probably also, I reckon you'd find yourself looking forward to making your one massive elaborate meal a week.
Yeah, definitely. I would just get so much more adventurous with it as well, because I'm like, well, if it fails, I just don't eat it. Like I'm not going to be hungry afterwards, so meh, like just give it a try, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Oh, life would be so much cheaper as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Counter question to this, and this question came from me reading your original question entirely wrong. But what food would you just not eat, even if you're in a survival situation? Like if you were starving and you'd just be like, and you had that one thing, you'd just be like, no, still not eating it.
Yeah. I don't reckon it would be like bugs or anything like that. I think I'd be okay with that.
You're
in a survival,
you could eat a bug?
Situation. Yeah, that wouldn't bother me. I think the thing, I'd really draw the line on human, I think. I'd be like, probably time to die myself instead. Don't know if I'm cool with eating someone I spoke to earlier.
Hey, you want to grab dinner later? I mean, you want to be dinner later? I mean... That could be a pickup line. It depends on how you look at it. I'm just picturing you like trying to eat bugs and then just like, you know, like the Lion King thing. Slimy. Yet yeah. Satisfying.
I know. I think of the like Hakuna Matata, you know, Timon and Pumbaa kind of scene. You're just like, I could get down with that.
Dancing around, picking up like a beetle and just like putting your mouth. You're like, crunchy.
Looking under rocks and just putting them straight in my mouth. No, I've seen like, you know, in some cultures that's a thing. Like they cook up bugs and stuff. And I've seen enough travel shows of people trying it and going, not as bad as I thought, for me to be like, yeah, I'd give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, when you deep fry anything, it's probably not going to be too bad.
I need to take with me a vat of oil that has been seasoned in like KFC chips for the last year. I just basically need to steal one of the deep fryers from a KFC, and then I could go anywhere.
Hey, Ryan, I've got
possibilities are limitless.
I've got this new interesting meat you should taste. It's been deep fried. Don't worry. Yeah, look, I didn't go anywhere near as serious as cannibalism. I've got this tin of sardines.
Spaghetti in a can.
Spaghetti in a can. I'm not going to eat it. I've got this tin of sardines that's sitting in my fridge for like, I don't know, a month now. I opened it. And I was like, because every so often I get like really, really like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the healthy thing and try and eat some sardines. And then I think I opened this can up and like I had like, I think I tried like four and they're like little tiny things. Like, you know, like it's like a half a bite is one sardine. And then I was just like, nah, I can't. It's just like the extremely too fishy. And then I'm like, nah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I ended up...
We already know fishiness for me is a no deal.
And yeah. I feel like I'm probably more accepting on the fishiness scale than you are. So, like, for me to be, like, nut is going to be, like, a dead no for you, I reckon. But...
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I can't bring myself to just get rid of it. I'm going to save it. And I've been saving it for, like, a month now in the fridge. So... I'm probably going to say that, like, you know, if I was starving, it would be, like, one of the most extremely, like, am I going to die today? Nah. Okay, I won't eat them.
They could stay in the fridge just that little bit longer.
They're preserved in oil, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I reckon I would go for it if I was in, like, that kind of situation. I'd be like, yeah, I can cross this barrier. It's just that I have options that I don't go.
You would go for the bugs first? You'd go for the bugs over the fish?
I mean...
Deep-fried human?
Nicely, maybe. They're almost on par. One I would slightly stay alive a bit longer. The other one I would just give up. All right, moving on. What is the first thing that pops into your head when you think of the word Japan or the country Japan?
Spaghetti in a can.
I'm pretty sure that's actually not something that you would think of at all.
No, quite the opposite, actually. The first thing, this is how conditioned I am, is the Simpsons thing is the answer Japan. But then, like, I know it's not the same scene, but then I'm just picturing, like, the little, like, monkey clapping the cymbals inside Homer's head. Like, that's what I picture. Like, I hear Japan, I'm like, is the answer Japan? Cymbals clapping.
Oh, man.
Which is, like, terrible. Because there's, and then, like, I continue, like the movie The Last Samurai, with like Tom Cruise in there, I just picture like some like samurai just eating his rice or something. He's just very like he just looks angry. That for some reason. And then there's a show, a movie called Ramen, The Ramen Girl. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it, but basically the gist of it she's like, I don't know, I think she like breaks up with someone or whatever. She goes to Japan. She learns to make ramen, but like apparently ramen has this magic power that, depending on how you're feeling when you're making it, you can make other people feel that way. So she's like really sad because she broke up with someone or whatever. And then like she's crying as she's making it. And then everyone starts eating her ramen and they're all crying. And it's like, this is a weird movie.
Holy shit, I love Japan. That's the exact thing that comes to mind for me.
You also
when I think
ramen
of the word
girl?
Japan is uniqueness. Like they're the most like... It's just so weird. They're so westernized in so many ways, but they have so much of their original culture, and even just like the definition of normal there is just different. Like even though they have like the full, you know, like Australia pretty much just adopted America everything in every sense. And so everything Americans think are normal, we generally think is normal. Unless we can poke fun at it because it's ridiculous. But like in most cases, we do the same thing. Whereas Japan's just like, oh yeah, America's doing that. Yeah, we have like weird anime girls at a cafe. You can just go, like, that's normal here. that's a thing. And that's just insane. But it's also at the same time, like, really, really cool that, and not anime girls, but like the, just the Ryan's
just hiding
weird...
his anime girl body pillow.
Just like the weirdness that is just so embraced there as a thing you can experience without being,
I think,
like,
that's just like a refreshing feeling of being like the lack of almost, I guess, like in, you know, like I feel like in Australian culture, you know, like the lack of judgment for of things that you would enjoy, you know, like if somebody's like, oh man, I really enjoy like, you know, this TV show or this like cartoon or whatever, you know, it's like I feel like here it'd be like, you are an almost a 30-year-old man and you're still watching children's shows.
Yeah, why are you talking about cartoons to me? Yeah. I don't understand this. Where, yeah, that's very different. The other things that's very different there that I absolutely love and that came to mind after that was that they don't really have like supermarkets in the same way that we do. Like they don't have they do have chains, but they don't have like, you know, Woolworths or Coles or, you know, Walmart or whatever. They have some things like it, but they've got a lot of just corner stores they are chains, so they'll be like 7-Eleven and stuff like that, but they'll do like actual meals, and a lot of people will just buy meals there on the way home from work, and that will be dinner like every night. And meals, they're not like, you know, you would buy here, where if you're buying fast food here, it's always shitty food. Like, it's always really bad for you, and you did it because you didn't have the time to cook something at home. But there it's like, you can buy really healthy and good meals that are reasonably priced as fast food. And it's such a strange concept to think of, because here it just doesn't really exist. Like, you go into like the premium sandwiches of Subway or something that even now is not healthy at all. But like, it's tries to be a selling point here, whereas there it's just like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's but life, you know. You
here
you
we have a shop for
it's,
everything.
It's normal. And I'm like, that's... it's just so different. It's really, really cool.
I feel like we need absolutely to clarify this question that Japan is literally one of Brian's favorite countries. Like, if he could go there, he would go there. Like, so, like, well, he gets, like, this really, like, as I've said
if
before...
if I get to a phase in my life where I do not need to go to a day job to go to work, I think I would end up moving to Japan, where I can, like, make money off the internet, because I don't like Japanese work culture. But if I could make money off the internet, I would probably... and choose any place to live in the world, I'd probably live in Japan. I think it's just...
we
are...
I think we're going to move on to the next question before Ryan starts getting to Marshall Erickson levels of excitement about Japan. If they found ancient human skeletal remains on Mars, what would be your first thought or theory?
I don't want to influence you, but I want to hear yours first. I want to hear what you think it would be.
Well, I had written down, this is the extent of what I had written down, because when I read this, I was like, boom, done, next question, please. Literally just time travel, then I fucking knew it, and then bet Elon Musk is up to something.
Shares in SpaceX.
And now I don't remember what I was thinking at all, but I feel like it's got something to do with Elon and time travel, because all the other alternatives are just a bit sad.
And somewhere in that, Dogecoin made it in
to the moon, shot past there, got to Mars.
I was thinking a way that I was trying to think how this could possibly have happened. And I don't know too much about our evolution, but I'm pretty sure there was like some bacteria and shit that sort of expanded and evolved.
Hang on,
do
we need to go lizard men? Do we need to put on our science caps? Like,
sorry,
science.
Yes, we do need to go into science mode here, although we're going pre-Newton.
Watch out, guys, we've got no laws to guide us.
But yeah, so I, you know, like I assume I have no idea how that bacteria came to be, but I would say that if there was some way, some sort of like, let's say our pre life bacteria was floating around on some space debris, and that space debris happened to hit both Earth and Mars, I could see us evolving on both planets. But like, because obviously we're talking about us being like skeletons at that time, so maybe Mars before it obviously became an uninhabitable planet.
You're slowing down because you're getting to that point where everything's making sense so far, but then you're going to reach a point
where I better stop talking quickly because I've run out of ideas.
Run out of ideas before you start pulling out of your boot. Yeah, my theory to follow on from that would probably be that like we started on Mars and then maybe like got like expanded to Earth and then like some kind of alien attack and like that kind of reset us, like destroyed us on Mars, which was our original home place. And then like we got pushed back
but
to like
do we get,
pre-Stone
how
Age.
How do we get like to Earth? That was, I was going down that route too and I'm like,
no,
you know,
see, we were super advanced, and then we got to Earth, and then aliens came like, and fucked us up, and was like, no,
and
man,
they
you
confiscated
can't.
Our spaceship. Exactly, and like, you stay here now. No history.
And we're gonna
of
reset
this.
You back to like, you know, monkeys for a bit. You know, good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay. Counter theory. As plausible. What happens if instead of flat Earth, we have flat Mars, but sort of like pages in a book? Mars is actually flat on top of Earth, so it's like you could fall off Mars and land on Earth, right? So this is like next level conspiracy theory, because maybe we started on Mars and we fell off Mars and then we landed on Earth and now we're suddenly on Earth.
Hang on,
back to Mars.
How is that a conspiracy theory?
It's not the way
theory.
Gravity works, bro.
How is that a conspiracy theory? Like the Earth is flat. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, it was more the Mars flatness on top. Obviously, the Earth is flat.
Jeez.
Definitely. I mean, that's I'm just undeniable. Talking about flat Mars here. That's the conspiracy,
okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a
flat
little bit
flat Mars
stretch,
on top
eh?
Of flat Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come
you know,
on, mate.
I mean,
like, we're scientists here, obviously. You're not going to start talking about flat Mars. Jeez.
I know. I'm bringing in some ludicrous theories. I know. Sorry. Flat Earth and then, you know, lizard men.
All right, if animals could talk, which would be the rudest?
Specifically in Australia, I got two. So specifically in Australia, I would think it would be the Tasmanian devil. Because that dude, I don't know if you've ever seen a Tasmanian devil, but they really just don't give a shit about anyone else. And they're on like their mission and you just sort of, they just go, you know, like they don't care about anything around them. And they also look evil as shit.
It's probably a reason why Looney Tunes did like the Tasmanian Devil is like the cyclone character that's just like
yeah. And the second one that I had, if we're just talking about animals in general, I would say goats, because they're just kind of dicks. Like they know when they're being dicks, and they really lean into it.
Really, I reckon goats would probably be a little bit like a bit more funny rather than rude. I reckon they'd be a bit more like. Watch this! I'm gonna hit this guy right in the ass. Like, he's gonna put him smack bang on his face. Let's try and say, like, oh no, Gary, mate, try and hit him so he lands in that turd. I reckon that's what goats are like. They're probably a bit
okay.
more.
I could see that.
I think geese are rude. Geese, oh. I reckon they're gonna be dicks because geese try.
Yeah.
They chase you and they just try to bite you and they like kind of. Like, they already have, like, a rude sound. Like, you know, like, they don't even have to speak English and they're, like, they're honking at you, you know? It's like, God, okay, I get it. You don't like me. Leave. Jeez, okay.
Every time you get to say a word, they just honk at you.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, but then how would they actually talk and would they, like, you know, kind of, like, do they kind of already swearing at you, but instead of like swearing, you know how
well, maybe
like, they have, like, the
maybe
little blooper?
They speak English already. Yeah, and they've just decided they're gonna honk at you instead. That's how rude they are. they don't even communicate with you when they can.
But they're sensitive around young ears because they've always got little chicks there. So you know they're kind of like censor themselves. It's like the censor thing, you know, when someone's swearing on TV. Except you know, instead of like a little tiny nice beep, it's a honk.
The other one that you could go with geese is similar to would be plovers, I reckon. Plovers are they're real bastards. You can't even walk on the same side of the road.
You what, mate? I'm gonna get you. Don't you
put my neck in a funny angle and run at you?
Yes, I've decided that my nest is best positioned in the middle of the road. Leave me alone. I'll take you on, Mr. Carr. To be honest, though, I think the worst. I feel like not necessarily like that there'd be like, you know, a lot of swearing or anything like that. But I reckon it'd feel the rudest animal, and I feel like I would take a lot more offense or a bit more to heart. But a kookaburra. Because, like, they're already laughing. They already laugh at you. But then wouldn't it be worse if you knew what they're laughing about? Like, and they're just, like, laughing. Like, oh, check out this fuckwit. He just walked into a
bar. Their laugh is very... I mean, people are like, oh, it's so iconic. I'm like, this laugh is just... It's so loud and so annoying. Like, it's nice when you're in nature and you're like, ah, yes. If they're outside your window and they're laughing, they are not a nice bird to have outside.
They are. Kookaburra laugh is, it's not even like, you could be out there like enjoying like the scenery of nature, and then all of a sudden this is like a kookaburra, this goes off its nut, and you're just like, oh
yeah,
that's a kookaburra. I was enjoying the sunset, but there's a actually what's worse is a cockatoo. Like, are they, because they
oh yes,
they are like the alarm bells of the Australian bush. It's just like they see something, it's like, oh, check out this guy, what is he doing?
So we have, my parents have, so I've grown up with one forever. We have a cockatoo, and very, very common in Australia. Very smart birds. They like absolutely loves me. Amazing bird, super affectionate, and you can like cuddle it and all that sort of stuff. But in the wild, they have this thing where they don't always screech. Sometimes they just scream. Like, so they just hold this like lower growl that slowly gets higher pitched and higher pitched and higher pitched, and they just keep it going. Like, it'll just be like, and then it'll just get worse and worse, and you're like, what is someone dying outside? What is happening? And they'll just scream at each other from tree to tree. Like, oh, we have some down the road, and they're like two streets away is the tree that they enjoy, and you can still hear them from my house just screaming at each other during the day. I agree. That takes the prize. That is the worst bird.
The cockatoo.
The rudest bird for sure.
Yeah.
In the wild. In the wild.
You know that he's just yelling out like, yeah.
Oh, no. Or that, or even worse, it would just be a normal conversation. They're just talking to each other from tree to tree, but they're doing it in a really annoying way.
All right, Ryan, if you had to open up the tin of spaghetti that is our socials, what would you do?
Well, I don't want to open up tins of spaghetti in general, but I do want to open up our social. You can find us on Reddit at r/heyyouonline. That's where we're posting our questions each week. It's also where we will take any other questions you've got. You can also send them through at heyyouonlinepodcast@gmail.com. And all that we ask is that you share around our podcast to people that you might think enjoy it.
Sweet. All right, Ryan. If you had the power to create an unlimited number of baguettes anywhere at any point in time, how would you use this power, or how would you abuse it?
I think I would use it probably primarily to interrupt someone's conversation. Like, if someone's talking to me about something that I don't particularly want to hear about, I think just spawning a baguette, because there's nothing like a conversation stopper, like spawning a baguette in front of someone and then just slowly eating it while you look at them. I feel like they'll just walk away.
I totally thought that you meant like they were talking and then suddenly they have a mouthful of baguette.
Yeah, that's even better. That's even more effective. I think that wraps us up for this one.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next one, guys. Bye.
See you guys. Bye.